this is Dawn.
And I'm Lana.
And I'm Rob.
And I'm Ishmael.
And you are listening to another episode of Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age.
We improve with wine.
I am very excited about tonight's theme because...
How excited are you?
I'm so excited. How excited are you guys? Because you don't even know what it is.
No. I have no idea, so I'm excited.
I love a good surprise.
Well, this is a surprise for us, too.
All of us.
This is, yes, tonight's theme is mystery wines from my mom's basement. And essentially, the story behind this is mom came up to me about, like, a month or so ago, and she's like, I've got all this wine in my basement, and I don't know what to do with it, which, right away, it's like, well, I'm adopted, because I don't know what unopened wine is, and I also don't know how you cannot know what to do with wine. So she's like, do you want it? It's like, yeah! And then I thought, we'll make a podcast out of it, and we'll do mystery wines from my mom's basement. So I've got a bag.
A bag of wine.
A bag of 6 bottles of wine. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're reds or whites or if they should have been chilled, so we're just going to fake it and see what happens. So, I guess we should go into our first bottle.
Okay.
I will let Ishmael...
I can't wait to hear it. Yes, yep. The sound of the bottles and the bag.
Okay, without looking, just pick a bottle, Ish. Oh, I thought you were going to cheat for sure. I'm so proud of you.
You told me not to look.
I know, but I thought you'd cheat.
He takes direction really well.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Our first bottle is 19 Crimes. there's a picture of a dude who looks like he's a criminal.
Looks like a mugshot.
It does. I think it is.
Okay, so it's called 19 Crimes, each declared by His Majesty to be punishable on the conviction by transportation. Wow. Yeah, I mean, there we go.
Okay. Now, let's see if I can... Oh, look.
Oh, are you doing it?
Yes, Josh. Doing it?
Yes, you did the hand
I'm
job.
I'm doing it. The hand job that John Cragen taught us?
Yeah, that works almost every time.
Almost every time. We've had a few that don't. Which is the foil just pulls off the top.
Yeah. See, yes. We learned that from another guest. It's pretty fabulous.
All right.
Ooh.
So, it's a 2012 red wine.
Southeastern Australia, apparently.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, this is exciting.
We haven't had an Australian wine
yet. No, we haven't. Okay.
Okay.
See? It's just as exciting for us.
We're so excited about the strangest little thing. Ooh, it's from Australia!
There's a picture of a guy on it.
He looks unhappy.
Oh, I'd be unhappy. If I was an Australian being deported. Wait.
Where do you go after?
We're waiting for one of our favorite sounds, our second favorite sound.
Yeah. Pull it more. There you go. More. That was a lot of work. Now, where do you go after you've been deported from Australia? You can't really go to Siberia, can you?
New Zealand.
That's where Australians get deported to.
Yes, New Zealand.
Alrighty then. Shall we?
Yes.
Now, this is our favorite sound. So.
Yes, favorite sound in the whole wide world.
If we could have a little hush.
It's almost the same sound of, like, if, like, a hot bath could make a sound that was more audible. Yeah. Here, let me help you.
Yes, please, Dawn.
Yes, you're welcome. So... Hope you guys like red wine.
Actually, the glug glug sound that I really like.
The glug glug.
Yeah.
I love the glug glug sound.
I love the glug glug sound that we make when we drink it.
Yeah. That's the quaff quaff sound. So, in our show, we like to take a look at our wine and describe, like, the coloring. You poured pretty heavy, Lana. I'm pretty happy about that. Do we have anything left in the bottle?
Not a heck of a lot. I figured, what the hey,
it's from Australia.
You know, this is the second time in a row I'm not wearing any garnets. So I don't have my ring to compare it to, but that's pretty garnety.
What do you guys think?
It's very garnety. It's beautiful red color.
Yeah, it's a nice burgundy with just a little hint of maybe violet around the edges.
You're right. Yes. It has a pinkish tone to the red.
It does.
Which is lovely.
It is lovely.
I love reds on the pink side as opposed to the red side.
Right. Because reds on the red side
suck. The orange side. I'm sorry. As I was staring at you, I was talking, and I just got like, caught up in your beauty,
no,
Dawn. And
I understand. I understand. Keep going.
I know
going.
You hear it every day.
Oh, I do.
Okay, a little swirl, and I'm looking, and
yeah,
I'm seeing.
Let's give this
I'm
puppy
seeing
a
some
swirl.
Legs.
Yeah, I like the legs on it.
And
oh,
how's it smell to you guys?
Mm-hmm. Oh my word! This is quite potent on the smell.
Why?
Isn't it?
Robust.
What do you think?
It's
robust. That's
a
good word. Robust.
Yes.
Excellent.
Rob the writer.
Is
that my hair?
It looks to be.
Oh well, apparently my hair is already in Rob's glass.
Oh,
so,
it's just extra keratin. That's fine.
Exactly. Exactly. So if his tastes better, we know why. It'll be
Alrighty.
My hair care. Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's robust, but it kind of hits in the back of the throat.
It's
kind
got
of,
a lot of fruit. A
yeah.
lot of fruity smell as opposed to a tanniny smell.
What do you think, Ishmael?
It's a beautiful bouquet.
Mm. It smells like it smells like
it's very full. It's very, very, very fragrant.
Yeah. It's very round.
Yes.
I feel like this has been done in like an oak cask or something like that. It's like you can almost smell the wood in it.
You can. Good call.
Look at me. I sound like I know what I'm doing.
What?
So,
oh! Wait. So, what shall our toast for this one?
Oh, we should have a toast.
Well, you know, I
yes.
think it should be...
To crimes?
To crime.
Oh, we're going to toast to crime?
I don't know.
That's okay. That's
why not?
Okay, sounds great. Well,
right.
here's to crime.
Here's to crime.
Organized or not.
How could we not?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it already fabulous?
Mm.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Hmm. What's your first impressions?
Well, this is my favorite part. Not the pouring, not the smelling, not the looking, but the drinking.
The first, oh, yeah. Well, it's my favorite part, too.
So my first impression is we've gotten there.
We've finally gotten to the really good part.
So we're already successful, is what you're saying?
It's got this almost sort of boozy finish. Like it's something stronger than wine. It almost sort of evaporates off the back of your tongue and goes up into your sinuses.
It's a nice, soft, velvety finish.
Like a bourbon or something. Mm. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be interesting if this was a mix of something?
Well, I think it is. It just says, let's see.
Well, I mean, it's a red blend.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it'd be fascinating if they chuck some brandy in here, too.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ishmael?
It's very good. I generally like the sweeter wines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm tripping over my tongue already.
Yay!
I generally like the sweeter wines.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good for not being a sweet wine.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. A lot of raspberries and currants
yes.
going
yeah.
on in here.
Yep.
Now, what I think is fascinating about this, is, especially with reds, and I don't know about you guys, but when I take my first sip of a red, I feel like all the saliva in my mouth attacks it. Like, and it's just like, ah!
My God, it's finally wine!
I know, it's finally! So, but you know, my saliva doesn't attack this one. It doesn't mean it's bad, but it just means that it's still delicious, but it's different.
You tend to like a high tannin wine.
And I like a spicy wine.
Yeah. So I think
yeah.
that's part of that that reaction. This is a mid-strike. There's
yeah.
a little bit of tannin at the midpoint of the tongue,
mm-hmm.
and then this fruit right behind it, and then it just soft finishes off the back.
Interesting. Because I feel it tingle on my soft palate a little
really?
Bit. But maybe it's because it's wine, and my body's finally excited to have wine. Like, I've been waiting all day for wine.
Okay.
All
day. You know, it's been a
oh
long
day. Oh, my gosh.
Day.
Do you know how many hours went into that day?
I know. I'm not drinking. Yeah. This was hard.
That was so hard.
It was super. Yeah. Well, you know, I counted every minute.
I did, too, but for, you know, a myriad of reasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Of course. So, we're excited because, what, in just about a month, just over a month, starts Convergence.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Convergence
so
2014, Midsummer's Night, and... It's fun to bring in people who are like, I mean, Ishmael, you've been part of Con since day one?
Since day one.
Like, literally since day one.
Literally since day one.
So you were
you
part of the original founding. I know, he's one of the founding fathers. We have him right here.
I am considered one of the founding board members. And I phrase it like that because I was not one of the original people originally asked to be a board member.
Mm-hmm.
I went to work as the hotel liaison for a sitting board member at the time,
mm-hmm.
prior to the first Convergence, she had to step down.
Oh.
And she had asked me to come to the meeting where she was going to step down. When she asked me, it was going to be take a leave of absence. somewhere in the intervening hours that changed, and I did not know this. So I'm at this board meeting.
And the best volunteer organizations get their people.
All of this.
Just maybe for a short while.
We just need you for a couple hours.
Yeah, a couple hours. It's all.
Sixteen years later.
I'm looking back at those couple hours and going, wow, that's a long couple hours. I thought they were only 120 minutes long.
Yeah.
Not 16 years. Yes, she stepped down at the end of that meeting, and one of the sitting board members at that point turned to me and said, do you want to join the board?
Yay!
And best decision they ever
so
made.
Thank you. I was very excited. I had to go home and talk about it first, and the response at home was very enthusiastic. So
excellent.
I said yes, and 16 years later, I'm still going at it.
Amazing. Yes. So, the first year of Convergence, how many people were actually, how many people went?
The first year of Convergence, we were planning for at most 750. That's what we figured we would get.
Which is
a great number. Yep. We got
1,501. Convergence, overachieving since day one.
Pretty much, yes. Yep.
And yep. Overwhelming the hotel.
Yes. We were sharing the hotel that year with two other groups.
Wow.
So expanding within what was the Radisson at that time was not really possible. So
it was the same hotel, just under a different flag.
Yes.
Okay.
So I immediately had to find other rooms.
Yeah, it's
yes, it was the Radisson, then the Sheraton, and now it's the
Doubletree. Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
What were the other two conventions? I hope they were completely diametrically opposed to nerd stuff. Like
the other two conventions?
Yeah, that
you were
with.
They were. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Was it hunting?
No.
Oh,
it was the Moose.
Minnesota
the
Moose?
Royal Order of Moose.
Oh, my God. It was like hockey players?
And the Lutheran Women's.
Wow. Well, at least, I'm not going to say it. Okay.
And 1,500 science fiction fans. All under the same roof for a weekend, yes.
Well, okay, so Ishmael brings up a good point. Let's talk about what Convergence is for you who live under a rock.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah, you live under a rock.
Now, see, I have been a science fiction fiend, but relatively closeted because I grew up.
Really? Yeah.
I would have been ostracized if I had been the kind of nerd on the outside that I was on the inside.
But we're not going to get into it, but as a female, too, in our age group,
That's true.
We would have been ostracized for it.
Even the guys, if they played D&D, that meant you were part of the AV club, and you wouldn't get invited to any of the parties.
I don't know what that means.
to be honest, I wanted to be at some of the parties.
Sounds like we had similar experiences, actually.
So you were a closet nerd, too, Rob?
I was, I grew up here in the Twin Cities, and up until I was about, I think, 14 or 15, every year I would go to MiniCon. That was, like, the only con in town at that time, because that was, like, 25 years ago. Or
3,000 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then
pyramids were being built
I got to a certain age where I started deciding that what I really wanted was the girls at school to pay attention to me. And so I had to stop doing all this outwardly geeky stuff. And at the time, like, that was what guys did. Now, it's sort of different. You can be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's enough people around that you can probably find some friends.
Yeah.
So I got a leather jacket. I started smoking, got a motorcycle license, grew my hair long, like, did everything just completely opposite of what I thought I actually was.
Yeah.
And got a motorcycle permit.
I was amazed. I was like, geez, what were you working in high school to get a motorcycle?
So I did that from about 16 on up until I went off to college and got out of college. And all that time I'd been playing into this role of the desirable guy.
The bad boy.
And it would work for a while.
Yeah.
Women would meet me, especially in college. They'd meet me and they'd be like, wow, he's pretty cute. He seems really smart. He's a gentleman. I want to, I'll try dating him. And then the first time they wanted to go to the spring formal and I wanted to stay home and watch Babylon 5, it was an argument.
Yeah. Man, I would have stayed home and watched Babylon 5.
I always did, but that's why my relationships never lasted long in college. And then when I got out of college, I was like, well, that's it. I'm going to go back to MiniCon and just be myself.
Uh-huh.
Got to MiniCon and there was no one there.
Oh. sad.
Because it was, you know, I think 8 or 9 years after the big split. And I asked some of the people I recognized from as kids, you know, what happened. And they told me about Convergence. And so that's how I ended up going to Convergence for the first time.
So what was the year that you started going to Convergence?
It was the 10th anniversary, which would have been 2008.
2008.
Oh, I think that was the first year I went. Yeah, okay, so anyways, Convergence is a massive sci-fi fantasy convention, before I forget to actually define this for our listeners who don't know what Convergence is. I mean, but the fun part about Convergence is it isn't just science fiction, or it isn't just writing, or it isn't just anime. It's everything.
Everything.
Everything under the nerd sun is there at Convergence, which, that's why I love it so much.
I was amazed. I found out about it after the first season that I did Klingon Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm a nerd too.
Yeah, well, and I had been hiding it for so long, and I was trying to, you know, and I never really liked Klingons till I played one, and then I, then I just, you know, once you play a Klingon, you realize it's time to live your life out loud like a Klingon. And that summer, somebody from the show said, "Well," and I went to Convergence, and I went, "What? Mm-hmm. What is this?"
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, the next year with Klingon, I met you, and you're like, "No, you need to go."
And ta-da. And that was only my... that was my third year at Con, so...
So 2000 had been going...
No, I haven't.
No, so...
Ta-da-da. Right. Lana's thinking.
I thought it was 2011 was my first year.
It would be 2011 is your first year at Con. Yep.
I'm surprised, too, because you seem like such a mainstay at the Con that I thought you'd been going much longer.
Well, Dawn got to be a mainstay... The convention has a mascot, a robot named Connie.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of fun with Connie over the years, created by the great artist Chris Jones. We've had a lot of fun with Connie over the years, and the convention is not static. It grows. It's a living thing.
Constantly. That's
and
what makes
we
so hit
much a fun. Year when we thought, we really need to give Connie a voice.
Yeah.
And I don't know the process, because I was... doing all the other things I needed to do.
Hotel stuff.
But suddenly, they're telling me about Dawn, who can do the voice of Connie, and we're really excited and we're really happy to have her. And all I said was, okay. I know it's a good idea because people smarter than me are telling me it's a good idea. And Dawn came on board as the voice of Connie and made an instant big hit.
Oh, definitely.
It's my favorite gig every year. I mean, when people ask me, "Dawn, what's your favorite job you ever do?" It's like Connie and Connie Mar 2. Every year, this is the one I live for. Live for it. Okay, anyways, enough about me. So,
Connie Mar 2 is Connie's younger, sexier, sleeker, evil sister.
And I have to put a hats off to Chris Jones on that one, because as we were developing, because we developed the voice for Connie together, and then as we were developing the voice for Merc 2, I mean, he instantly understood the sisters have similar voices. And so it was like, thank you. I mean, because like my sister and I, granted, I love you, Pammy, but she sounds really Minnesotan. And I mean, but otherwise, if you just heard us talk, it's almost the same voice.
My sister sounds like a much younger, sweeter version of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. But yeah, that was my big thanks to Chris Jones on that one, is like, keep the sisters sounding alike, because they're sisters. But
yeah, you've got the same, you know, genetic equipment.
Exactly. You're going to sound all alike.
And you grow up in the same environment. I think that's a big thing, too.
That's a huge thing.
You have sisters?
I have one sister who actually does sound like me. Or I sound like her, because she is older.
Interesting.
She's 6 years older than I am. She has a noticeably more lazy method of speaking. And it's not that she's lazy, but her words are more drawn out. And she takes her time
a little bit
more.
She
thinks. Yes, she thinks. But you can definitely hear the similarities between my sister and I.
Interesting.
Fascinating. I think that's... What about you, Rob? Do you have...
My sister and I are nothing alike.
Well, see, and so is my brother and I, except he's the one who opened the nerd gates for me. Thank God for that.
But why didn't I... I love my brother intensely. He's a wonderful, wonderful human being. And he's actually he did introduce me to science fiction in the monster movies.
Oh, cool.
But he never took me into the fold of nerddom, because I was a little girl.
Yeah, but my brother took me into the fold because he used me.
Because, you know,
you might want to elaborate.
Yes, I will entirely elaborate that one. Because, you know, like, back in the day, like, when, you know, your computer games... Oh my god, I'm so sorry, Ishmael just got a text message, and his, what's it, his wallpaper is Connie.
Yes.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
Oh, that is so
cool. Awesome. Okay, anyways,
Oh my god.
I know. So, like, when you're doing dungeon crawls, like, back in the old PC games...
Ah, yes.
He made me draw the maps. So, I mean, I developed a fantastic skill of mapping back in the day, and so he used me. And, but, yeah, okay, so, yeah, graph paper was my best friend. So, Convergence is coming up. I'm really excited about it, and of course, we're going to talk a little bit more, but I think, I mean, we're almost done with our glass of wine, and if we don't rate this, we're going to have nothing to rate.
Oh, I need to catch up a bit.
Yeah, you
do. Oh, we need to also taste this a little bit with some food. Bread, gluten-free bread. Almonds.
Yeah, and if you guys want
olive
some
oil.
Do you want some oil?
Yes, I'd like some oil, please.
There you go. You can has it. So we're now going to try some 19 crimes with some... And you're supposed to have white bread. We learned that.
White bread.
Mm-hmm. According to the internets, white bread is supposed to, like, open up your wine or something. And I don't know.
Well, I like...
Oh! I'm sorry to say, but boy, that olive oil in this stuff is fantastic together. Yeah,
oh my god!
I know! It's a completely different wine.
See, that's why I love to eat with the wine. Some wines just don't come
nodding.
Alive.
I am nodding for those of you listening at home.
Yeah.
Because I'm speechless.
Or your mouth is full and you're polite.
Yeah.
Or that.
We're not polite. Wow.
I know!
That's delicious.
Nodding.
Isn't it fantastic? It's like...
Wow.
Yeah! Uh-huh. This is a huge surprise. So we were just doing 19 crimes with, like, extra virgin, unfiltered olive oil.
Tunisian.
Oh, yes. Ooh. And it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
It becomes expansive
mm-hmm.
in your mouth.
It tastes more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means. But, you know.
It opens up the lighter notes.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, I think this is wonderful. And, of course, we have unsalted almonds that we can try this with.
Is that another thing that goes with wine?
Supposedly.
They're very neutral in taste,
according to the internet.
And now, according to this podcast.
You know, if it's on this podcast, it must be true.
Oh, right. And I'm winning the lottery tomorrow.
Must be true.
It's totes true.
Totes.
With almonds, do you think it makes a difference, Rob?
I can't...
I don't... Personally, I'm not experiencing anything different. Go ahead, say it. The nuts aren't making me experience anything different. Is that what you're going to say, Lana?
I'm not going to talk about your nuts.
Oh. Well, they're right there. In a bowl. On the table.
Your nuts are doing nothing for me either. I'm sorry.
What do you guys think? Do the nuts make a diff?
No, I'm favoring the olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
No, the olive oil is the definite hitter.
Yeah.
Let me try this with just bread, no oil.
Ooh, experimentation at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
Lana's
mm-hmm.
the control group. Or wait, but you're doing the gluten-free, but
mm-hmm.
that shouldn't make too much of a diff.
Okay. Not a big difference. I think it is the oil.
It's the oil that does it.
So what I'm taking from this is it's probably anything that has a good amount of fat.
Mm.
So I bet this is just... And we.
So you're saying we should be eating cheesecake?
I'm thinking more of a steak.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay,
oh,
steak.
Yes, this would go lovely
something
with steak.
Something
with a little bit more... A little more acidic.
I just think it's good. What do you think, Rob?
I think when you have me back, I will bring steaks and cheesecakes.
Rob's back next episode! Next episode.
Next Friday.
Next Friday, Rob's back with steak and cheesecake. And we'll do something new, like with wine.
Works for me. Wine is good.
Yeah.
I'm really very pleasantly surprised because when you said you had mystery wine from your mom's basement.
I know, it might get worse.
I did not know what to expect.
I expected boxes of vinegar.
Next one still might be a box. Yeah,
it might
be. We're no promises.
So far, we're doing very well.
Rob, you're picking the next wine.
Oh. Yeah, yep, he picks the next wine. Aha.
Is it that time?
No.
We have to rate this wine.
Oh. So, let us introduce you to our rating scale.
Yes.
It's 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the highest. 1 is, I wouldn't drink it even if they were handing it out free at Renfest.
Number two is
that's
the
deep.
We would probably equate this to vinegar salad dressing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Three is wedding appropriate wine. You know, if you're getting it free, you're walking around with it, it's fine, but not great.
Number four, we define as a bottle that we wouldn't mind drinking by ourselves, and we wouldn't feel guilty about it.
Yes. It's the not feeling guilty about it.
Mostly the not feeling guilty about it, drinking it by ourselves.
So five is,
I would tap that vintner's cask. So, on a scale of 1 to 5, and they're laughing quietly. And I don't know if that's a laugh of embarrassment, or, wait, no.
I'm vastly amused. I'm vastly amused.
I think there's a fundamental flaw in this scale.
Why? What's the fundamental flaw?
Well, four is the second from best, right?
Yes.
And four is I would drink it by myself.
By myself.
Without feeling bad.
Yeah.
If I bought a new wine and didn't know anything about it, and tried it, and it turned out that it wasn't good.
Yeah.
I would take it home and drink it by myself so that my friends wouldn't have to drink it.
Oh, he's nice.
And I would feel very self-righteous, not guilty.
Oh, okay.
For, like, falling on that grenade.
Oh, so...
And also getting to drink wine.
By yourself.
Yeah.
An entire bottle.
Yes.
I'm
a
writer.
Reason.
It's been known to happen.
I've saved my
friends from the horror of this wine.
Oh,
wow.
See, yeah.
That's not us.
No, because if it's bad enough, it just goes... It goes down the drain.
Yeah.
But I can't say I've actually sacrificed.
I hadn't considered that you could actually just not drink it.
You could just not drink it.
Or it's the kind of thing that you put aside for when you're out of the really good stuff.
Yeah.
Or if it's really late at night.
Really
late
at night.
And you're just getting to the point where I just need some red wine to relax before I go to bed.
Or you've already had a bottle of really good stuff and
you don't care about the set anymore. I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
In our house, we set it aside to cook with.
Oh, well, see, there you go. So, well, then on that one, Ishmael, scale of 1 to 5.
This is a 4.
You would be happy to drink this by yourself,
and you would
feel guilty.
And
about
you
it.
Can
and
use,
I would share it, but yeah.
You can use decimal points if you want.
If you need to.
It doesn't have to be an integer.
Okay.
You know, I'll give it a solid 4, too, but not with that wording. Just that I think it's, you know, one away from the best.
Oh, so it's not a fall on the grenade worthy?
when you store 3-buck chuck in a place that's too hot and the train goes by and it gets shaken.
Where did you grow up?
I live in East St. Paul near tracks right now.
Oh,
so,
okay.
The train does go by and the whole house vibrates.
Oh,
so
that must be pleasant.
So I can't have like my own wine rack at the house because the sediment would all get disturbed. It'd be awful.
Well, that would be awful.
So when I buy wine, I have to go home and drink it. It's
immediately.
Yeah.
You do.
Well, it's a moral imperative.
It is. So you would give this a 4.
I'd give this a 4.
Because it's one away from the best.
See, when you started explaining, I thought you were going to explain why the definition of 5 wasn't to your liking. So
five was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seemed like you had more to say about 5.
We could have.
But
we've had many things to say about that.
Yes, we have. And we've actually had a couple fivers on the show already. But, what would you give this one?
You know, I just to be a little different, I'll give this a 4.1.
Okay.
But a 4.1 with food.
Yeah.
Maybe a 3.9 without. So it's, I think it's okay. It's good for a... You know, a cocktail party walking around all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But once you put a good piece of protein with it, I think it's going to be amazeballs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pleasantly surprised by this wine from my mom's basement.
Who brought this wine for your mom? Because
I think they're a good friend. Yeah.
And your mom needs to know that.
And needs to invite them over more so that we can get more wine. I know, but yeah, I mean, someone obviously knows my mother because I brought a 19 Crimes wine. I mean, and the comedy is there, and it's in spades, so I hope she got it. And I hope the person that brought it also thought it was funny, too. Now, I'm going to lean more for 3.5 on this one. This is not one of my most favorite wines, but I'd sure drink it at a wedding.
It doesn't
happily.
It doesn't have a lot of spice.
It doesn't
You're
have
right.
a lot of spice, and that's, of course, what I love. Mm-hmm. So there we have the 19 Crimes. I think this is a lovely one, and I mean, I would still buy it. So we're going to finish off this one, and we're going to move to our next bottle, which, as you can see, Lana's swishing out her glass with water so that, you know, we don't pollute the next one. You don't have to slam your wine, but it's fun to watch people slam their wine.
We all know we don't have to slam our wine.
Oh, wait, we forgot the most important
important thing.
Oh, definitely.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Ishmael, you picked this bottle.
Yes.
So that means you're going to read the back of the bottle for our folks, but you get to read it in a funny voice. And this is the envelope of funny voices. So Ishmael is now...
You didn't tell me about this part.
No, we don't tell anybody about this part.
unless they've listened to the podcast.
Yeah,
they
would have known it was
going to
happen.
You haven't listened to our podcast.
So Ishmael's drawing from the envelope of funny voices, and it's taking a wonderfully long time.
It is.
And he drew...
he
drew Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo. Ishmael's now reading the back of the bottle.
I can do this.
Of course you can. We have faith in you.
It's not about...
Channel Casey Kasem.
Yeah, it's just Casey Kasem.
The exact words I thought was channel Casey Kasem.
Yeah, you don't have to do it good.
No,
you just have to do it.
That's the joy of it.
Yes.
No, you don't understand. There are people I know listening to this.
Oh, yeah, that's the best part.
They're going to make fun of me.
As they should. Okay.
Okay,
here we go.
Let me think now.
All right. He's getting in the spirit.
I have not watched Scooby-Doo in a long, long time.
It was a great show, though.
It was a great show.
It's rather high voice. Upper male, and also sounds
a lot.
Well, and it sounds like he's been smoking a lot of pot.
No, this is
a lot of pot.
Okay, go for it.
Let me see. Okay, let me try to get in there.
Yeah,
get there. Okay,
you get there.
This is Casey Kasem on American Top 40. 19 crimes.
Wine almost went out my nose. Okay,
and that would be a waste.
It would be a horrible waste. Okay,
19 crimes turned criminals. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. 19 wines. I think I've had enough. 19 crimes turned criminals into colonists. Upon conviction, British rogues guilty of at least one of the 19 crimes were sentenced to live in Australia rather than death.
Hmm.
This punishment by transportation began in 1788.
Oh my God, I'm learning something. Stop!
And many of the lawless died at sea. For the rough-hewn prisoners who made it to the shore, a new full world awaited.
This is Casey Kasem
on American Top 40.
Yay!
Oh, that was bad.
That was like a long-distance dedication.
Speaking of long-distance, let's get our next bottle out. Okay, so Rob gets to pick the next one. Here it comes from the big bag of wines without looking inside.
I'm going by feel.
Going by feel.
It's always good to feel.
Yep, so there's 5 bottles in there to choose. God knows what he's going to pick. I hope it's as good as Ishmael's.
I've got the feels.
You got the feels.
Ooh.
And what did you pull?
Avalon.
Holy cow.
Avalon, California, 2011.
Wow, we got a Cabernet. 2011. This is one of the luckiest episodes I think we've ever had. So, yeah, Avalon from California, vintage 2011.
Let's do this.
This is where I habitually say I'm not a big fan of California wines, except for their Cabernet.
Except for wines that are free from my mom's basement.
I said usually. Now, all right.
My question is this all the wine that was in your mom's basement?
No, this isn't. Ooh. She only
this
like
is just what we have for the podcast.
We're only going to do 2 bottles, so you know, unless you
had to have something to choose from. Right. You only brought 2 bottles, and that's not really a choice.
No, I brought 6.
Well, that's what I meant.
Oh. Yep, I hear what you're saying. So I think whoever is getting invited over to my mom's house has great taste in wine, because the thing that I know is when I bring wine over to my mom's house, I open it
immediately.
And I don't let it sit in someone's basement. Are we making the noise?
We're gonna try.
Here comes the noise.
Yay! That one was better.
It's a little better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know, it's the acute angle
and
the right depth, and let's not go any further.
Oh, I think we should.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that kind of like brings up this interesting thing of best song.
Oh.
It's the angels singing. How do you go to a party with a bottle of wine and not be rude? I mean, obviously, people have brought bottles of wine to my mom's house, and they didn't get to try any, which I think is really annoying.
Yeah, tell your mom that's rude.
I mean, I have brought wine bottles to people's houses, and they're like, oh, thank you, and they put it away. Like, no, you don't understand. I brought it to drink.
Well, I mean, I've certainly been to parties where I'd bring a bottle of wine, and I'd get there, and there are like 40 other people there, and they've all brought something else. And
yes.
So just, we never get to the bottle I brought.
So you should
call
us.
You're partying
from now on.
Proud.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard people use the technique of like, actually, like, you bring the bottle, park, pull the keys out of the ignition, open the bottle in your car, and then like stuff the cork back in and walk in with it. So it's like already opened. I've heard of that too, but...
So you just go, okay, let's start drinking my wine.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, because like I said, I've been to parties where I desperately needed wine and knew it was going to be awful. And it's like it just didn't happen. So, I mean, weird. Well, anyways, so that's one of the
Let's take a look at this. Different color.
Avalon Cabernet. This is lighter than the 19 Crimes. It's not as like... It's more ruby-er, as I would describe it, but less purpley.
Yes. It's not as dense a color. You can see through it a little more.
That's true.
Far more translucent.
Oh, good
gosh, he uses these good words, this Rob guy.
Oh, I love nerds.
I know.
Nerds make me happy.
Where were you when I was 16?
Oh, are you kidding me? When I was 16, I was permed to the hilt.
So was I. I was in Duluth.
Yeah, the AA didn't matter. Ishmael, what do you think?
It's a beautiful color.
Well, it's wine.
It is like, well, yes.
Yes.
Okay, setting that part aside, the obvious bias.
Yeah.
It is lighter than the 19 Crimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is, yes, as Rob said, translucent, I believe you said?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you could, yeah. You can see through it, is the words Lana and I use. And then other people show up and say, translucent.
So I'm holding my hand.
See, I'm with the two of you. Yeah, I can see through it. Wow.
I'm holding my hand on the opposite end of the glass, and it looks like there's a different rate of refraction in this one.
Oh, my God. Refraction.
Yes, he's
correct. Okay, I'm reading a little heavily here.
The refractals are great.
You know, what's interesting is I'm reading the cork through the wine.
So it super is. Translucent.
Super translucent.
Okay, let's swirl this puppy and then take sniffs of it.
Okay, swirling.
I'm curious to know what
not a lot of leg action here.
Translucency smells like.
Translucent means it's not clinging to the glass as well.
It looks like you guys already have opinions of what it smells like. How would you describe it, Ish?
Well, I'm comparing it to the last bottle and to my
personal taste.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
My perception, it's not quite as fruity.
I concur.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
It's a lot more...
You're trying to impress Rob now.
I couldn't.
It's working.
Yay! See, this is why we put
people
between us.
Totally outclassed here.
Yeah, whatever. You have a thumb ring. We have thumb ring powers going.
I can get a thumb ring.
Oh, yay. You know, I have them upstairs. I'm just...
Okay.
It's a lot more earthy.
Oh.
I think.
That's a fascinating way to describe it. I'm sure Rob has a 7-syllable word to
I have no doubt.
3-syllable.
Oh, okay. First word, do you want to do charades? First syllable,
sounds like smells like.
No, just I give up. Okay, so.
I give up, 3 syllables, there you go.
Yeah, I give up, okay, good.
I'm not a fan of this aroma.
Okay.
To me, it smells like rose petals steeped in denatured alcohol.
Yes, I was thinking the
same
thing.
I will add to that, I can smell the tannins from here.
Yeah.
And I can tell this is a California wine. I can smell the mineral content.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the denatured, yep.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly it.
Everyone at home, I was right.
Yes. Rob was right. So why don't we have a toast to Connie's 16th birthday?
Connie's 16th birthday.
Because she's 16.
You know what? I would like two toasts for this one.
Oh, two toasts.
Okay,
Connie's 16th birthday.
Second
toast?
And second toast is to Dawn's mother.
Oh, to my mom. Yeah, we're not drinking wine.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you. You'll be a guest someday. It'll be hysterical.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead, take a drink and tell us what you think. Mom. My mom is fantastic, except the fact that she doesn't drink wine. That's in her basement. How's it taste?
Hitting the front of the tongue. Not a mid-strike. Very front.
Super front.
Mineral. Not as much tannin as I can smell. That's interesting.
Mm. It has a wonderful aftertaste, though.
It evaporates before it hits the back of your tongue.
Yeah, but it has this, like, yeah, it So if you're trying this at home, which we certainly hope you're trying this at home with us, yeah, take a sip of it and then, like, give it 10, 15 seconds. And it also blossoms into something else.
It does. I'm trying to, like, shape my tongue to channel it toward the back, and it's not
getting
there.
It's not going there. Can I ask, can we see how you're shaping your tongue?
Oh, please.
Because we're just curious.
Well, not with my mouth closed.
Well, do it with your mouth open.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, rolling.
Okay,
tongue.
So we're rolling
your
tongue. Okay.
Yeah, that thing. But in the back.
That's hard to do.
Ooh,
rolling your tongue.
Okay, now I'm going to try it. Okay, where
also, when I was 16 and I wanted girls to like me, I learned how to do all kinds of things like tie cherry stems with my tongue.
Right.
Oh, how
girls
very
like
Twins
that.
Peaks.
Didn't work.
Oh,
it
didn't
was just
work?
It came off kind of creepy. But
well, did you look at them while you were doing it?
No, I would just
that
run
would be
up to random girls and say, "Look what I can do with my tongue."
Ah,
gee, I wonder what happens.
The creep begins to explain itself.
So although I tried, although I really wanted to be that really desirable guy, at about the age of 16, I didn't know how.
Well,
so I was trialing and erroring.
There are very few guys at 16 who do.
Or girls. But, I mean, still, so your charisma score at 16 was just enough to know what you should do, but not high enough to know how to do it.
That's, yeah.
Bingo.
So
hey, that's pretty good,
charisma
actually.
And wisdom. Like, the wisdom had to go up a little for the charisma to really...
Oh, well, and that's how wisdom goes, though. You gain bonuses as you get older. Do you play D&D, Ishmael?
I haven't played D&D in years.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, World of Warcraft came along.
Oh, I say unfortunately, but that's my opinion. Are you done playing WoW, or are you still playing it?
Still playing it. Went back to it after an almost year and a half hiatus.
Wow!
Yeah.
Do you play any MMOs, Rob?
I don't. I used to play in the 90s when they were all text-based, and it was like
exactly.
Zork.
Yes, I
played MUDs, and when EverQuest came along, I was like, this is just a MUD with, you know, mediocre graphics, and I'm not interested, and so I never followed that progression on to World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
But I loved playing MUDs. I actually spent, you know, quite a bit of my time in college when I should have been studying or trying
impressing
to raise
girls.
My grades up to a
impressing girls, whatever.
Well, I was closeted doing the MUDs. Like, I wouldn't go out to the bar and tell girls I was just playing a MUD at home, because they would...
That wouldn't work.
Yeah.
No.
Well, with the right girls, it would.
But the right girls are hard to find.
But they weren't at those bars. They were at home playing those MUDs.
No. Well, but the thing is... Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed. And I
yay!
I don't,
confessional
I don't,
time!
I don't game.
I know, she's not a gamer nerd.
And, well, it's because I didn't grow up doing it, because those people were so, you know, shunned.
Yeah.
And I'm in IT. I am the only person in IT who does not game.
I
will tell you that right off the bat.
We should get you involved, because I think you would really love it. So,
I probably would.
I played Basic when I was 8.
Can I ask, and I don't know if this is too controversial a topic for the podcast, but do you get accused of being a fake geek girl because you don't game?
I don't, because I mean, I take the classes with the rest of the geeky guys, and I'm a business analyst and IT project manager, and I do all this testing and stuff. It's like, and when we start talking databases, you know, I get all turned on because data's really
sexy.
You blow
them out of the water.
Well, yeah, because it's data is where, that's where your business is, and if you don't understand what's going into your data and how it's being shaped, you can't make a decision about your business. And that, you see, and most people start glazing over.
Yeah,
because
I'm going back
this.
To my wine.
Crap.
Here we go.
So
delicious wine.
At school, no. And in the business world, no, it's at cons a little bit,
but
with the gamers
but
we start talking Star Trek, Star Wars. And when I start speaking Klingon, then they just shut up.
Are you fluent?
I'm not fluent.
Fluent, no way.
That
would be awesome, though.
I only know a handful of people who are. It's one of those, agglutinative languages like German, where, you know, you push things together to make a word.
Which is what I love about German.
I still, you know, I still know enough about it that I can pull out some words and respond, and I remember some of my lines. But, yeah, I learn. I have enough that if I had to, I could probably pick up the
and you
show
can
again.
Sing. You can sing the songs, and that's all that matters.
Koi ke lesh puk lo koi puk me pu yok puk mat puk jeshu vui. You know, sure.
Yeah, you know that's true.
No one has any right to ever question you.
That's total geek cred right
she
there.
Wins. She
total
wins.
Geek
and if anyone ever does, please do that, and I want to be there to see
yes.
it.
And I got to actually fight with Ryan Watson Jones with Batleth
on stage.
On stage.
Yeah.
the second ear, and we almost killed each other, and it was great.
Multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
It was so much fun. Yeah. So, yeah, it depends on the group I'm with. But it's interesting that most of the IT folks, at least half of them, are gamers. And it's so funny, because everything that doesn't have to do with how would I program a game,
mm-hmm.
they're like, I just have to pass the class.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating? But why do you ask that question, Rob? Because most people don't.
I am very fascinated, because when I was growing up, like, when you went to a con, it didn't matter if people were into different things.
Mm-hmm.
We were all there for the same reason. That was, like, our one place to go where
yeah.
we were not outcasts.
Oh,
you know?
I know.
Yes. And
whenever I walk into con, it's like I've just come home
yeah.
every single time I walk into that hotel.
And there are these sort of subcultures
mm-hmm.
that are at odds with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the nerd police and fake geek girls
mm.
have these, like, huge conflicts that I watch on Twitter because,
yeah.
you know, I'm a glutton for punishment. I keep going back to Twitter.
I don't do Twitter. It's just...
I don't twit either. No.
There's so much hate on Twitter.
Exactly.
Tweet.
Well, and
it's
so
tweet.
Easy...
It's twit to me.
It's so
totally
easy
twitting.
To get yourself in trouble on Twitter that
yeah.
I just... And I get myself into trouble everywhere I go.
Yeah, you do.
Why should I...
Yeah.
Why should I find one more place?
Yeah, but...
So I'm always... fascinated by it, and I always want to get other people's get a recap of other people's experience with it.
Yeah,
because I don't think of myself as the nerd police, but I've been lumped into that category before.
Interesting.
Wow.
For trying to write a comedy article that was too short and didn't like go in depth enough on the topic of when is it okay to call someone a nerd and when not to.
Oh.
A bunch of people in a generation younger than mine thought that I was trying to tell them they're not real nerds.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, and nerd and geek is such a nomoker. I mean, I consider myself both. Or, you know, like, who gives a crap? I'm a nerd. And
mm-hmm.
it's a word I've had to fight for. Because, and I've even been introduced as, she doesn't look like one, but she is one.
I get that a lot, too. I
yeah.
don't look like...
You don't look like one, but you are one.
And I don't
yeah.
look like your classic IT... Well, first
yeah.
of all, I'm not a guy.
You're a female. Yeah, no kidding. Those boobies give you away every time.
Maybe?
No way.
But yeah, it's that is the weird part
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I'm because the two of us don't look like your classic nerds.
Yeah.
But it's a word that I have come to claim as my own. I'm
Amen.
Proud of that word.
Amen. Me too.
But you're right. There are some people at any con, and we just went to the.
Console
room,
which was the Doctor Who con that just went up this year.
That we did.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
But it's interesting that people sort of will jab at each other and test each other and stuff. And it's like
the testing is so weird. Have you guys encountered testing at cons before?
I have.
Like,
yeah.
What happened to you, Rob? Or what did you see?
I'm a bit too drunk. I don't know.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Please.
No, I'm a bit too drunk. I actually can't remember.
Oh,
no. Okay, well then don't worry about it.
Maybe
well,
if you drink more, it'll come back.
Yeah, but let's go back to your first Convergence experience, Rob. Because that was 2008. And,
it was 2008.
And what? Why were you there since it was your first experience?
Well, part of it was that I'd heard about it.
Uh-huh.
Like, going back to Minicon, and when
yeah.
I was a kid, Minicon had thousands of people. And then when I went back in my, I think, mid-20s,
mm-hmm.
there were... hundreds of people. And,
right.
And
that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so they told me a lot of people just went to Convergence. So I was planning...
Because it's awesome.
I was planning... It is.
Yeah, it is.
I was planning on going to Convergence. And then I went to the MinSpec, the writers group.
Oh.
Because I had self-published a short story collection that like didn't really go anywhere, but it got
mm-hmm.
me attention and a small press picked me up to do a novel.
Cool.
So I was like this...
Oh my god, we have a novelist on our show.
Oh my god.
What?
I'm gonna pick
what?
Your brain.
Oh.
It's gonna be painful.
So I was this up-and-coming writer, and I went to go join up with this group, and Hillary Moon Murphy was running the group.
Huh.
And she said that, by the way, if you're an author, Convergence will comp you in as long
uh-huh.
as you speak on some panels. And so that was my impetus.
A published author.
Yeah. You
okay.
had to be a published,
published
author.
Published author.
And
yep.
you could, and it self-publishing didn't count. So
yeah.
like the small
yeah.
press thing was
yeah.
what got me in.
Oh, nice.
And... so I just emailed, I think, programming at Convergence. I don't know who was in charge back then. And just gave them my background and said, if you've got room, I'd like to be
mm-hmm.
in. And they brought me in. And it just
yeah,
it went well enough for
yeah,
me and
yeah.
for them that they keep bringing me back.
So you're a returning guest of honor every year.
I've never been a guest of honor.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Because there is a distinction. Yes. Yeah, there's guest of honor and then there are guests. But guests are still super important, right?
They are very important.
Super important.
I think so.
Yeah, super duper important. So then this year you're asked to MC opening ceremonies. And I mean,
what they told me was I'll be playing Ed McMahon to Connie.
Right. Right.
So. Okay, wait a second. I'm getting a mental picture, and it's really interesting.
What's your mental picture?
Of Ed McMahon and Connie together.
Connie together.
But with your face on Ed McMahon.
Naturally.
Although
it's not
with his nose.
Okay.
His nose.
You
is
are correct.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
But I like it. I'm sure. So, Are you concerned about, you know, being up there at opening ceremonies? I mean, there's only like 7,000 people watching.
Don't be nervous. That will be the biggest crowd I've ever been in front of.
But most of them won't be right in front of you. A lot of them will be watching
from, you know, their rooms.
Their rooms.
And they're highly
heckling,
judgmental.
Yeah.
Oh, it's super heckling.
It is.
I'm not too worried because I don't think they're actually going to pay that much attention to me. They want me to say, and now here's Marina Sirtis, and then they want to pay attention to what she's saying.
Sure.
And then they want me to say, and now Connie again, and they you know, laugh at Connie's having fun with me.
Yeah.
I saw the script, and like,
the script is
Connie,
lovely.
Connie, like, really has a lot of fun with me.
I know. I'm really excited about this year's script. So for those of you who are going to Convergence, I mean, people always ask how much of the script is actually written and how much of it's improv. And I'd say about, 80% is written?
80 to 90% is written.
Yeah.
Then there's that other 10 to 20% that's total improv.
That I'm messing with Ishmael.
Yes, indeed.
Ishmael's the most fun to mess with on stage.
Yes. Every year I come out determined. She's not going to get to me, and every year there's just one that comes right across the plate that I never see coming that stops me completely.
And it's great. I'm so proud of those moments.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Because it's like, I know I can do it with you.
Yes, yes.
I mean, not everybody out there I can play with, and Rob, boy, you're screwed.
Yeah, yes.
So
I have to say, I look forward to it.
I hope so.
It's a lot of fun to do, and one year will be my year.
No, I didn't see it. It'll never. Yeah, because I've already been going through the script and I make my own changes to it, Rob.
We're allowed to do that? Because they sent me a copy of the script and I just wrote
Dawn
back, I got it, thanks.
Yeah, Dawn.
But Dawn
Connie
does
makes changes.
Connie
and
changes.
Connie Mark II makes changes.
Oh, Connie Mark II is...
She's notorious.
Oh, yes.
If I need changes, I need to go through Connie.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. But anyways, so I'm excited to share the stage though with someone who's actually gonna be physically present, because I mean, I think the whole idea of like having Connie as a voice, that was fun for a year or two. Having Connie as a puppet last year was fantastic, but that only goes so far, and now to actually have someone on stage.
Is the puppet gonna be there with
yes
us?
Okay.
Yes,
the puppet is going to be featured again this year.
One year didn't you come back in time as the Flesh Connie?
Yes, yes, that was future. Future Connie came back as Flesh Connie. And, well, anyways, but boy, there's a lot of Connie lore going on. But, and you're also performing at Convergence. Are you performing under Rockstar Storytellers? Isn't it Sunday? You're doing readings, or...
Am I?
I have you marked on my calendar.
Yeah,
is that
okay
on your schedule?
It's on my schedule. It's on Sunday, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that,
I didn't say
I think,
yes.
That is the reading. I don't actually have a lot of material that's new.
That's okay.
Since last year, so it'll be me reading just a bunch of short stories you've probably already heard me read somewhere, but
so?
I do them very well.
I read them awesomely.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is you're apologizing for rereading material, so it drives me to ask this question. Rob, can you tell us exactly or even just guesstimate how many times you've watched Babylon 5?
Because
start
of all the dances.
Are my favorite episodes.
That answers my question right there.
Legitimate
answers my question right there.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that people are not going to mind that you're rereading what you've read already.
Okay. I feel better now.
You know, that is an excellent point about nerds.
We love to redo stuff a lot.
Well, and also, you know, you get your favorites and it's like you watch it over and over.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, earlier this week, I had a bad day. Mm. And what happens? I turn on Serenity. I watch that puppy back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And within, you know, an hour and a half, I am in a good mood already.
You know,
and I didn't even have wine.
What?
Yes.
Was there no wine in the 7-block area?
I was holding out so that I would really be in the mood tonight.
Oh, okay.
See, it was all for you.
And you.
I could make a whole case for training camp, you know.
Oh.
You could have been in training building up to tonight.
Well, sometimes.
Yes, I train frequently.
Sometimes
daily.
If I drink too much wine for a couple of days, all of a sudden it doesn't taste as good as it has.
Are you dead? Like, I can't even comprehend that.
It's like, and then for one day I won't drink wine, and the next day,
oh
it tastes so good.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's that denying myself for a day. Sorry.
Okay, Lana's having a moment.
I often do.
Try the wine.
Try the wine.
Try the wine.
Yes, shall we? Oh, let's try it with some food, shall we?
Yes, let's try it with some food.
Oh, yes.
As we're trying it with food, I have to add to that. I'm rewatching Neon Genesis Evangelion, the anime series. Neon Genesis Evangelion is an early 90s series. Shit, it's good. God, is it good.
I've never seen it.
Oh, God. Okay.
I feel bad that I... This is way too middle of the road. I'm rewatching the whole Buffy series.
That's
been so long.
Road.
And I posted on Facebook the other night, boy, season 6 really went off the rails.
Mm.
It's like, oh, Joss, all you were doing was Angel and you were preparing for Firefly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Buffy
mm-hmm.
really kind of stank that season.
Speaking of stank, I don't see the white bread
mm-mm.
and the...
Doesn't do a damn thing for
it. Do you guys have a different opinion than us?
Nope.
The oil and, the bread does nothing.
Does nothing.
No. And
they're both showing kind of just there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Lana just had an almond. What do you think?
It tastes the same.
Yeah.
So, and that's perfectly valid for a wine to taste the same with food and without.
Mm.
It's just exciting when a wine
blossoms.
Stop reading my mind.
No, I'm never going to stop reading your mind.
What am I thinking now?
Well,
okay.
But that involves a shower. Anyways, okay. So,
do tell.
No, that's after, dear.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, I mean, I like wines to taste different with food.
Yes.
And this one doesn't.
It doesn't. It's, as I said, it's just there. It's, I'm not even sure when you drink it.
Yeah. Rob, do you have any opinions?
None whatsoever. I mean, it's wine.
It's wine.
And that's good.
Yeah.
It's wine.
Yeah.
Wine's good. Wine's good. But yeah, I'm not feeling anything special about this.
I think with the mineral content, I think it might be really good with cheese. It might pair
very
well.
Lots of things are good with cheese.
Yeah, I know.
Especially meat. Cheeseburgers are good with cheese.
But something,
They're just not cheeseburgers.
Though. I know, they're just
somehow.
Not.
I don't know
cheeseburgers
how
without cheese.
I don't know.
Weird.
I think because of its sharpness, though.
They do burgers without cheese?
No.
Okay.
That's completely un-American.
Thank you.
Completely un-American.
You had me worried for a moment there.
So on scales of 1 to 5, 1 being I wouldn't drink it if they were giving it away free at Renfest, and 5 I would bend that vintner over a barrel. How do you guys feel about this?
And have my way with them.
And have my way with them. How do you guys feel about this?
There's another inherent flaw in this scale, because there's nothing I wouldn't drink free if it was given to me.
I
would argue with that.
I wish you
that.
Could have seen it. We had, like, two fingers go straight up, and it was Ishmael's and Lana's going, okay.
I have had mead at the end of the day at Fest that was some of the most putrid,
it's like it's not even worth the calories.
It's
not even
stuff.
Worth it.
Okay,
not
you're
even...
right. I've had mead that tastes like basically the stuff left over after a jar of pickles.
Yeah,
yes.
It's awful.
Yes,
it's
awful.
And it's
awful.
Also sometimes, I don't even want to discuss what color it was because I thought it was radioactive.
Yeah.
But I tasted it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, there is stuff I would not drink even if it was free.
Yes.
And
I totally agree. I worked at Festival for a
number
of years, so I totally know alcohol and food not to eat, even if they're giving it away.
Yeah. What's the food not to eat? Do tell.
The turkey legs.
That's what I always
I know!
Hear.
No!
The turkey
they're
legs.
They're so dry!
They're okay.
Well, they're dry, but are they bad
what,
for you?
Well, okay, what I heard is they
heard.
Are cooked...
Heard.
Heard.
Okay.
What I was told, is that better?
Mm-hmm.
Is they're cooked partially off-site.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
they're brought on site and thrown onto the broilers to finish cooking.
Yeah.
So you have this reasonably uncertain cooked meat that's very stringy.
Mm-hmm. It
and,
is really stringy.
And
it's
very
dry.
A lot of cartilage and it's dry.
Super cartilage.
I have a housemate who brought a turkey leg home From Fest and attempted to feed it to his cat. And his cat would have nothing to do with it.
Well, you know, cats have good taste.
Yes.
You know, I've often noticed that, like, cats will eat something dead on the side of the road for, like, a week. But, yeah, you know, if they come near my coffee or my whiskey or my wine, they're like, oh my god, no. And that's why, yeah, they won't even eat a turkey leg.
No, wouldn't even eat the turkey leg.
Wow.
I've only tried to have a turkey leg once.
I have to be really drunk. It's usually 2-for-1s, and then I'll eat one.
And it's such a disappointment. It's just so awful. But, you know, the two of us, when we go through RunFest, it's...
I don't even remember anymore.
It's, yeah, it's like...
Rob, do you go to RunFest?
Once in a while.
Once in a while?
Not regularly.
Okay. But, well, we hope to see you out there.
Yes, we're going again this year.
Yeah, and we'll be doing an episode of Screw It. So, back to
in
wine.
Costume.
In costume, of course. So,
so you're performers out there.
No,
we're patrons. We've learned that.
Yes.
Even though we don't have season passes, we're patrons.
It doesn't matter.
We're
one
day
patrons.
Yeah, one day patrons.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's hear about some rating scale on this wine.
Come on, guys.
I'll give it a 3. It's a perfect middle of the road wine.
Mm-hmm. I have to totally agree with
totally agree.
Ishmael, don't be wrong on this one.
Yeah, no peer pressure.
3 out of 4.
Come on, buddy.
You know, I've never been horribly influenced by peer pressure. No, we won't talk about 6 people in a room looking at me, asking me if I wanted to be a board member.
No.
Absolutely not.
What's number 2 again?
Number 2 is like, it's like a
vinegar salad.
All right, yeah, it's better than that.
Yeah. You can use decimals.
I know. 2.75. Yeah.
That's completely legitimate.
Sure.
Yeah. So then let's do tasting notes with Rob. Voices.
Yeah.
Rob's got the envelope of silly voices. And
so I will say that I have listened to the podcast.
Oh.
I had it on in the background while I was working.
That's totally
so
legitimate.
So I was passively listening and I didn't know what was going on. I thought your previous guest just like had that as a talent, silly voices. So I didn't know.
Oh, who was the previous guest? Do you remember?
It was the most recent one. You did that.
Well, she did the Gollum impersonation.
It was Gollum.
Oh,
yes.
Isn't that incredible?
Why didn't I get that one?
Is Gollum still in here?
No, she just pulled that out of her own butt.
Yeah.
She's just like, I can do this as an impersonation. And she did it.
Oh, I would love to have done it. It freaks my daughter out.
And what did Rob?
A bald eagle.
You know, I created this list a long time ago. I have no idea what's inside.
You know,
when Dawn
told me what the list was, and then she said, it'll be the guess. Oh, he's pouring more wine.
So he's pouring more wine rather than reading it.
And
now he's drinking the wine.
She said, now it's going to be the guests who read in these voices. And when you told me what the list of voices were, I went, I'm so damn glad it's not going to be us.
Yeah, okay. So as a bald eagle... Can you please read the back of the bottle of Avalon Cabernet?
Just this part.
I will, but could I get you guys as a chorus to maybe hum softly?
Yeah.
America the Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Star-Spangled Banner. We handcraft Avalon wines to easily pair with food. Our California Cabernet Sauvignon exhibits rich, slightly smoky aromas of cherries, boysenberries, and chocolate.
Above the fruited plain.
Please, I'm not finished. A minimum of 8 months. I'm finished.
No, the song isn't over yet.
A minimum of 8 months aging in French and American oak barrels. Soften the wine and impart some of the spice.
With brotherhood from sea to shining sea. That was a wonderful Muppet interpretation of the bald eagle.
I was going for if Sam the Eagle mated with Richard Nixon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course. Okay, so
I wasn't listening.
I'm not. You know, all of a sudden I started listening because he was doing such a beautiful
job.
He
was a beautiful job.
I do not taste cherries.
Mm-mm.
No, I don't taste chocolate.
Boysenberries, maybe.
Yeah, boysenberries, maybe.
But chocolate, are you out of your effing mind? There is
Cork dorkery.
We claim cork dorkery.
Yeah. This wine's
totally screwed.
Totes cork dorkery. So, I mean, now between the two wines, the 19 Crimes and Avalon, what do you guys say is the best?
19 Crimes.
Hands down.
Absolutely. Yeah. 19 Crimes
is absolutely
delicious.
I was thinking hands down. People are reading my mind tonight.
Weird.
Maybe it's written on my forehead.
No, but you should be happy. So many people are probably not open to the experience.
Right.
It is a dark and dirty place.
Okay, so I'm wondering if Rob got that. That was very, very deep.
Yeah.
Deep geekery. That is a quote from Beetlejuice.
Yep, super deep.
I don't remember that one.
Yep.
No.
Yep, you read my mind. So many people are not open to the experience.
Oh.
The house decorator.
The house.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. So today we drank Avalon Cabernet, and we did 19 Crimes, the 2012 red wine.
Oh my God, that goes on our list of wines to drink for realsies.
Yeah,
yes.
For realsies. We'll drink the 19 Crimes. Again, this was wines from my mom's basement. So, again, my name is Dawn.
And I'm Lana.
And I'm Rob.
And I'm Ishmael.
And, I mean, we've got Convergence coming up soon, which, of course, Ishmael is fantastic because he actually makes all the hotel rooms work.
I don't know. Yes.
And the party
you
rooms
are magic.
Work. You are super magic.
Well, thank you.
And you deserve lots of wine during
yes.
the con.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, and you know what?
Yeah. Again, I'll remind, it's the sweeter wines.
Oh, of course, I know. Yes, Lana.
And don't forget that, screw it, we'll be doing a panel.
Yep.
At Convergence.
At Convergence.
I will, Dawn
You'll
will,
get there.
I will get there.
Yep.
I have a show. I will be tearing from the show, so
safely.
Dawn's... Yes.
So it's July 4th at 10 o'clock. We're doing nerdy wines.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Rob's going to be at Convergence, too. He's going to be doing opening and closing ceremonies, plus his own readings, and plus other panels, I bet, right?
Totally.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of panels. I don't know what they are.
That's
so
okay.
Just, like, go to Convergence and look at the schedule, and if something
Search
interests
Callahan.
You, go to it, and hopefully
yeah.
I'm on it.
Right.
But
you know,
if you've
you
got
ask.
Room on the Screw It panel, I can bring cheesecake.
Oh,
I think that
shit.
Wins. Because we actually had one spot open on the panel. I think Rob just won it. Yeah. Okay, Rob, welcome. And Rob is our fifth guest on the panel. And he promised cheesecakes, and damn it, if he doesn't have it, he's
off the panel.
Yeah, he's in pain, is what he is. So,
as
congratulations,
Rob. Running
Rob.
In halfway through. I'll
but
just,
we'll save
you, know.
You some cheesecake. It'll be gluten-free. Anyways, so this is our most recent episode of Screw It, Wine Improves with Age. We improve with wine. Lana, you get to pick our next theme.
Oh,
because I did the last one. I did.
What have we done and what?
I could.
You know what?
What?
It's summer.
It is summer.
And both of us love red wine.
We both do.
Red wine is where it's at. We almost never drink white.
Super totes.
But.
Yeah.
Because it's so hot out now.
It's hot. My butt sweat proves it.
Oh, please tell me more, darling.
Well, I can stand up.
Okay, yeah. I think we should do ice wine.
Ice wine!
Ice wine!
Oh,
I have one!
I'm jealous now.
Ice
now
wine.
I'm jealous. Okay, so our next episode is ice wine. Please find us on Facebook, join our group, so you can find out more about what we're doing and all that good stuff. And, you know, thanks for listening. And it's our theme song.
Our theme song,
our closing
theme
song.
We're
la,
so
theme
cool
song.
Cause we drink wine.
We're super cool nerds.
Nerds.